hope I pronounced the name correctly, from GNOME.
That's okay. I've been trying for 2 years to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad, but I can accept it. It's okay.
Great. Okay. Can you please introduce yourself, who you are and what you're doing?
So maybe Stormy first.
Yes.
So I'm Stormy Peters. I'm the executive director of the GNOME Foundation. So my job is to help make things happen in GNOME and to run the foundation. The foundation supports the GNOME project, like financially, legally, helps run projects and hackfests and events.
And so, hi, I'm Vincent Huns, so I'm working on GNOME in probably most of the areas that you can imagine. So right now I'm the president of the GNOME Foundation, but it's going to last only for a few weeks more, because at the end of the month I'm not going to be president anymore. And I'm also the GNOME release manager, and I'm also hacking and so maintaining a few modules and many things like that.
Okay, great. I understand that Stormy, you're from the United States, and Vincent, you're from France. So,
yes.
What do you think about Linux Talk so far? This crazy German Linux event.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I've been here, so it's my third Linux Tag, and I'm here mostly for OpenSUSE, but I feel that this one is the best of the three. So it's really good. I like it.
So this is my first Linux Tag. I've actually wanted to come for a couple years and haven't made it. And I've been really impressed by the energy, like the amount of people walking around and the energy that everybody has. So I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, okay. I understand that GNOME 3 release is one of the hottest topics in the GNOME community at the moment. Can you explain what GNOME 3 is?
Oh, I'm sure that Stormy would be pleased to.
So GNOME 3 is the next major. I was trying to get the microphone down. The next major release of GNOME is coming out this fall. We've been in GNOME 2 for a long time, and it was time to do a new version that will look very different and we think address a lot of the user's needs. So really the focus is making sure that the user interface makes it easy for people to do what they're trying to do without a lot of interruptions. So we'll have GNOME Shell, which is a very different look and feel. Although if you still like your GNOME 2 look and feel, you can use that, so don't be sad yet. We'll have things underneath like better documentation. Then we've also done improvements that we think will improve things across the board. For example, like GNOME accessibility will be available to other platforms and other applications. So we're doing everything from making GNOME help users be more concentrated and more focused on what they're trying to do, to making things better for beginning users, to making things better for free software across the world in terms of accessibility. And I'm sure you're dying to add lots of detail to the things I've said.
Oh, no, that was a perfect answer. I just want to stress out that one of the main focus of GNOME 3 is indeed what we call user experience. When we start doing GNOME 2, before GNOME 2, we had something which was done by programmers for programmers, more or less. And with GNOME 2 in 2002, we start focusing on the typical users, you know, end users who don't have a computer science background. And so we start thinking about usability. We had designers involved. And so it's been 8 years now. And since then, we've learned a lot. And now we're talking about user experience, which is more than usability. It's really the whole experience for the whole desktop. And so when you look at GNOME Shell, we have really a good design document that explains a lot of the reasons why we are doing some of the change. I mean, we can talk about that for hours and hours. So.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I understand. I mean, these are great goals. I think I understand it. But can you give a few examples of really new features or new stuff people can do, just concrete answers for end users?
So for end users, so the really big change is GNOME Shell. And with GNOME Shell, actually, the goal is that we want people to focus on their applications and on their documents. We don't want them to have to fight with the desktop itself. So we're trying to make the desktop non-obtrusive, so that they don't have to see it. It just works the way they expect it to work. And we're also trying to make it easier to switch between your applications and your documents. So, for example, you're organizing your work in activities, and when you want to start a new activity or when you want to switch to an activity which is already existing, you go to what we call the overview mode, which is really the single place where you go to switch between activities. So it's something that it's really different from what we have today, and it's really different from what other people are doing, other desktops are doing. But you actually get used to it really fast. So just after a few hours of it, you really feel comfortable with it.
Yeah,
so for example, I mean, I'm sure most of us, when we use a file or we create a file or we download them, we're pretty anal retentive and we stick it in a folder and we file the folder and we've got everything archived by either categories or dates. And you can find anything on your laptop within seconds, I'm sure. But then you've gone and helped somebody use their laptop and you looked at it and they've got every file imaginable all across the desktop. Their downloads folder has, you know, gigabytes of stuff in it that they didn't even know was there and they didn't know they had that space. I'm actually pretty guilty of this myself. And so in GNOME 3, we thought this isn't how people should think about it. They shouldn't think about finding the file on their desktop and double-clicking on it to launch the application. So we've made it much easier for them to launch the application and to find what they're either the application or the file that they're looking for, so that people can use the computer the way they've been trying to without spending a lot of time looking for things.
I understand that. Zeitgeist was one of the components to organize your files better, but I just learned that it won't be part of the 3.0 release. Is this true?
So, Zeitgeist itself. So Zeitgeist itself is the technology which is behind all that. What we really cared about was the front end, so the user interface, which is called the Activity Journal. And we felt that it was not well integrated in us with what we are doing today with GNOME Shell mostly. And so we felt that to integrate that properly, we needed more time. So it's going to happen in GNOME 3 in general, but not in GNOME 3.0.
Okay.
If you look at the design of GNOME Shell, actually, we have some web page explaining how it should work. We have some mockups. And so it will happen, really. Just a matter of time. And so, yeah.
So Zeitgeist kind of takes it one step further. Like in Zeitgeist, you could even say, I don't remember the name of the file I was working on or the application I want, but I know I was doing it with Vincent last week sometime. Tell me what I was doing last week. Or I had a meeting with him and I talked to him last Friday and I know he sent me a document and I could look it up by the meeting and time. So it's kind of like the next step or the next level. And it wasn't ready for this first release of GNOME 3. Not that it wasn't ready, but that we weren't ready to integrate it. And so hopefully it'll be, you know, 3.1 or 3.2 or something soon.
Okay. So about the naming scheme, 3.1 will be a developer release and 3.2 will be an end user final release again? Or
yeah, so we're keeping the same versioning scheme. So 3.0 is stable, 3.1 will be a development version which will lead to 3.2, okay. Then 3.3 will lead to 3.4, etc.
So the plan is to see Zeitgeist in 3.2?
The feature should hopefully be in 3.2, yeah. So in March 2011.
Okay, great. Okay, so this sounds interesting. What's the best way to try GNOME 3 right now?
A lot of the major distributions, you can try it. I don't know which distribution
Do you have a beta or a release, candidate release? Not yet, right?
So we're in the development cycle of 3.0 right now, so we're starting to have development versions. But as Tommy said, most distributions are already packaging GNOME Shell, for example. So if you want to really play with the big new thing in GNOME 3.0, which is going to be GNOME Shell, you can already install the package, and so you have some distributions like... I know that in OpenSUSE it does it this way because I've done it, but in Fedora and Mandriva 2, I guess, you just install the package, and when you reach the login screen, you can choose the GNOME 3 preview session. So it's really easy to use. You just install a package and log in.
And both Fedora and Ubuntu OpenSUSE make it possible.
Okay. I read that Ubuntu made quite some modifications to the GNOME desktop. They're changing, for example, window decorations or other features. What do you think is the best distribution to get the pure GNOME user interface? Or does it exist? Or
OpenSUSE, I mean.
Okay, sure.
No, so it's really difficult, actually. I know that Fedora and Mandriva are trying hard to not change the code and the user experience, so they are as close as possible as upstream. And OpenSUSE, same for OpenSUSE, actually. So Ubuntu is trying to explore a new vision, and so they are modifying the GNOME desktop in ways that are not upstream right now. But so it's why it's different from upstream. But I guess that even with a Ubuntu desktop, you can then change it back to look like upstream.
You can change it back. They put the little close button on the other side, which if you've watched someone try to do that, it's really frustrating. But one of the strengths of GNOME, of all free software projects, is that the distributions and other people can take it and change it in a way that they think best benefits their users. So as their users, if you agree or don't agree, you should let them know. But what they're doing is tweaking it in ways that they think their user base will make it more effective for them.
Okay.
Well, also, just one point. It's also worth mentioning that what we're trying to do with GNOME Shell is that we're trying to take the brand away of the desktop and put the brand in applications. And so we would like to have distributions not modify the user experience we propose with GNOME Shell. So that's why, for example, you have no logo in GNOME Shell. You just have an activities button, but you don't have a foot that everybody would replace with its own logo. Because we think it doesn't bring anything useful for the end users.
Interesting. Okay. So I understand that GNOME 3.0 is just the first step of the GNOME 3 series. So do you have a vision or some ideas you can tell already for the coming years, for the next years? How will GNOME 3.20 look like?
We might be able to reach GNOME 5 or 6. I'm not sure we can reach 20.
That would be like 3 years away?
Yeah.
3.20?
Yeah. I mean, come on, you can look into the future for 3 years.
No, that's more than 3 years.
That's more than 3 years.
That's 5 years away. So, 5 years is really a long time.
In 5 years, we're all going to have it implanted in our brain, and it'll display on your glasses in front of you.
What we're trying to do is we're building a roadmap to have a vision of what we're going to do in the next 2 years. So we know that, for example, for 3.2, we want to focus on the platform and the developer tools. So we want to have a really good story about that. So people want to create good applications for GNOME. And then for 3.4, what we want to focus on is really end user applications. And we really want to have people feel comfortable with their desktop and their applications. So we're going to focus this way. And then after that would be 3.6, and we haven't started discussing this yet. So,
okay. So let's move over to another topic. If you look at mailing lists or online forums, you often see KDE or GNOME users arguing about the best Linux desktop and having flame wars. And I'm sure there are more flame wars now between GNOME and KDE users than VI versus IMAX at this point of time. So how do you see the relationship between KDE and GNOME as a developer?
I think we're like two brothers or sisters that argue all the time at home. But then when you go out in the world, you stand up for each other because we're both trying to create a free desktop.
Yeah, we just hate each other, obviously. No. Yeah, it's actually quite funny because if you look at those flame wars, they are mostly from users.
Yes.
But the developers themselves, they're just all fine together. And we're just happy working together whenever we can. And we know that we don't have the exact same vision, which is why we have two projects.
Yeah. I think KDE and GNOME plans to do a joint conference again next year.
So. We do. We'll have the Desktop Summit 2011. We just collected bids, so people have submitted bids from around Europe to host the Desktop Summit next summer in 2011. Mm-hmm. And the two boards, the KDE board and the GNOME board, will be deciding over the next month where it will be. So it'll be a surprise in a month.
It will be amazing.
Yeah, I think so too.
and we had one last summer. So we had our first ever combined conference of Academy and GWADEC last summer in 2009. It was a very big success. We had like 1,000 people there, a lot of good conversations. And so next year we plan to build on that and hopefully even expand on it and cooperate in more ways.
Do you have further plans to work together between KDE and GNOME, or ideas where we can share technology or ideas or other things?
So from a purely technological point of view, we're already sharing quite a lot, and we're still moving closer and closer for in different places. For example, Stormy talked about the accessibility stack earlier. That's really something which is important for the desktop in general. And in GNOME 2, the stack was based on Orbit, which was not an option for KDE. And we've reworked the stack to be based on Dbus. And so we're really eager to see the Qt and KDE people adopting it. And so we can have accessible applications from KDE applications running in GNOME or GNOME applications running in KDE too. So that's one example. We also have the keyring in GNOME, so the wallet in KDE. The people are working together to have a shared protocol and also a shared on-disk storage. So we're really working together from a technological point of view when there's the same vision, and it happens quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, and we're looking at ways to how can we best do that. So we have the co-located desktop summit where we can all meet together. If there's other opportunities or things people see to have like a hack fest, we can work on funding from the foundation levels to make that happen. So if people are interested in working on those things, we have resources and interest in making them happen. And I think, I mean, we throw it out there, Frank and I were talking last night over a beer, and we thought it would be fun to do like marketing for free software desktops together. So there's lots of areas where we can work together.
Okay. The next topic is cloud computing. I think in the last years we saw a trend to move data and applications from the desktop into the cloud. Where do you see the role of GNOME or the free desktop in the future?
So that's definitely a trend that is happening, and we're seeing that. And we have people working on that, actually. So, for example, if you know Tomboy, which is a note-taking application, the Tomboy developers are working on a web service that you can use to synchronize your notes and to share your notes on the web. And so this is just an example, obviously, but you have also tons of applications like Image Viewer that can use Flickr or all existing web services. So we're seeing that, and that's not something we should be afraid of. And quite the contrary, we should work to make the life of users easy because they want to use those services. What's important to us as, I mean, the GNOME Foundation, we care about freedom. And so we want to make it possible to use web services which are free. So, I mean, free not as libre in French. And so that's why we're trying to investigate solutions like Snowy, which is the Tomboy online service.
And I'd reiterate that we want, we're obviously working to make the best experience for users, and users are operating in the cloud space. So all of our applications that possibly can and parts of the infrastructure that make sense, we're looking at how to integrate it with those web services. But like as Vincent said, we want free services to continue to give our users the freedom of the desktop into the cloud space. And that's where I'd really like to make a call to everybody to think about what it means to be free in the cloud and what alternatives, you know, what applications we're still missing. Because we have a broad range of functionality in the cloud space, but very little of it is actually like free software. I mean, I know software in the cloud means something different, but you know, there's a Denica instead of Twitter, but there's not like really a free Flickr service or a free Gmail service. I mean, they're free of cost, but they're not giving you the freedom that you traditionally had on your desktop. So I'd really like to make a call to everybody to think about that and to contribute where you can. We're happy to help talk about hosting or integration or however we can help make those happen. Working with KDE on their work.
Sure. Yeah. I think so, too. I mean, one of the main goals, as I understand it, from Richard Stallman, when he started the Free Software Foundation, was to enable the users to have control over their computer, so they know what's happening with their software and with their data. But now, when a lot of a part of your of the stuff you're doing is in the cloud, it's great to have a free desktop, but it's not enough. You still have to have control over your data and on your applications. And I mean, applications are also websites.
And I think one of the responses that he has to that is that we should not use the cloud. And I think that's very unrealistic to expect yes. that our users are not going to use it. So I think we need to give them a better solution.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, so I think you both are involved in the free desktop or in free software for several years now, as I am. And we are, we are looking for world domination. I mean, this is a stupid joke from Linus Torvalds, but still, we are doing this to be successful. But, it's difficult to say what the market share of the free desktop is, but I think we all agree that it's not enough. So what do you think? What is holding us back? What's missing?
I actually think that we're making, and I've said this several times, but I really think this time we're making huge steps forward in the mobile and smaller platform space. So it's not so much that we have huge market share in netbooks and mobile phones. We do have a much larger market share there than on the desktop, but it's that we're showing that it can be done and we're getting people used to using it. So it's no longer so scary. So like my mother-in-law downloaded Linux and installed it on a netbook, and she didn't call me once. I mean, she did it all on her own. So we're showing people that with these $200 devices that aren't so scary to play with, that you can actually use Linux and free software, and it's easy and it does everything you need it to do. So I think they're making inroads into the public mind.
Yeah, I think it's also worth mentioning that the non-free competition is also improving. If you look at Windows and Mac OS X, they've been really improving over the years. And some of that comes because we are pushing them in some way. Some of the features you now find in Windows or Mac OS X are features that really come from the free software
yes.
world. So,
Okay, I learned that this year there will be another GUADEC, of course.
Yeah, obviously.
it's the main GNOME conference, I think.
Yes.
Is it interesting for developers, for users? Who should come, and where is it this year?
Everybody should come.
Exactly.
That's it.
We want everybody to come.
So also users?
Yeah, so GUADEC stands for GNOME Users and Developers European Conference, I think.
Oh, this answers the question. Yes.
Yeah, and we definitely invite users to come. That's useful because for two reasons. They will see what will be coming next on GNOME, but also they will really understand how we are working, and it's also a way to try to convince them to try to start contribute, because we always want to convert users into contributors because they can bring us really something useful. Everybody should come. If you care about GNOME, basically, you should really join GUADEC. It's an amazing event. You have really great people, and you have a really good time.
And the complaint last year was there's too many parties, so how bad could it be? but this year we're doing something different. We're having a government day on Monday, the week of GUADEC. So we're trying to target that type of users. Are people, most of them coming, are just interested and haven't quite started using it yet.
Okay. So where is it this year?
It's in The Hague.
Oh, okay.
The Hague, Netherlands.
Okay.
End of July.
And where can I get more information or can... register.
GUADEC.org. I thought we'd say it in unison.
Or use Google, of course, to find the website.
Yeah.
Okay. Something more you want to mention?
I think we probably want to invite everybody so to come to GUADEC, obviously, but also to try GNOME if you don't use GNOME, but also to try GNOME Shell, to try what's coming next in GNOME, because we believe we're trying to we're innovating, and feedback from people is definitely useful for that.
And we'd really like to invite everybody to be part of the GNOME community. If you use GNOME or if you interact with GNOME and partner with GNOME, we consider you part of our community of friends, and we really want to have your input. We want to have you on the mailing list. We want to, walk up to any person you see and feel free to introduce yourself. Come to GUADEC and come to the too many parties. So feel free to be a part of it.
So, yeah, great. So thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks.
And we can meet you later at which booth?
So we don't have a GNOME booth this year, but if you want to meet me, I'm probably most of the time on the OpenSUSE booth, and Tommy, I guess, is walking around. And
I'll be around. Feel free to introduce yourself. Come on.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Frank.